All right, everyone, welcome back to the Rockcast. Jordan Bud here, and it is Tuesday, June 2nd. So we're gonna do another episode of Tipsy Tuesday here. Latest episodes. The last episode we had was last Saturday. I kicked that out, and it was the newbie hunt questions that kind of went along with the newbie gear list. I think it turned out okay. I think next time we do it, I'm going to wait to get more of a variety of questions and maybe have somebody else on to help me do that. But anyways, that's up. New Rock Slide articles. We have The Big Buck Hunters Can't Be Too Nostalgic by Robbie Denning. And I think that was really cool because I fell into that quite a bit. I think there's a... So basically what he talks about is being nostalgic about like an area, a certain area where maybe you've killed a deer and then you just keep going back there and keep going back there. And he talks about all the big buck hunters that he knows don't get that way. They keep jumping around, keep trying new areas until they find a big buck, and then they hunt the buck and then they start the whole thing over that next year. I think there's a little bit of a difference between that and then hunting the same unit over and over again until you get a big deer. If there's a big deer around there, because there's something to be said about learning a specific area in a specific unit, I guess. But so Robbie just got that episode or that article up. And then another one, I rolled back to a couple of older ones. Now that we're getting into summer, everybody's starting to get their gear dialed more and more. So I threw another one in. I'm sure I've talked about this before, but the article is called Load Development. From Unknown Munitions. So Unknown Munitions is they're a Rockslide sponsor, and they develop loads. I think whatever you want, you tell them and they'll load it for you. And so that's a really cool thing for those that shoot something like a 6.5 284 like myself and don't want to load or don't have time to load or whatever. So that article is up. And then another one, because of the grizzly encounters that everybody's been having, Billy Mulls wrote an article quite a while back called 5 Guide Tested Techniques for Grizzly Encounters. So if you're going to go hunt in grizzly country, or not even hunt, just camp, whatever, you should go check that article out and check those 5 tested techniques. Going on to the next thing, there's actually, and I just picked, Robbie just posted this like 5 minutes ago, and I saw it just before I came upstairs to record this. So we have a new Rockslide sponsor. They are called Mesa Horse Gear Company. And one of the things that really caught my eye on them is they made this, the picture that they used is this horn bag that like goes over the saddle horn, and it had like I didn't even look to see what it was, but there was like a big pocket on one side, and then the other side was like a sleeve, like a quarter sleeve maybe, and then they had a tripod, like the head in, like you flip the head upside, or the flip tripod upside down, put the head in first, so it's like in a cradle, and then you put a strap around the tripod legs, and then you can keep your tripod right there on the horse, and that is badass, because... I used a leather tripod scabbard when we were doing a lot of backcountry filming on horseback. Pretty much all of our stuff with Best of West was horseback. We used a leather scabbard and it worked okay. It kind of sucked getting in and out of, and it was like a full length scabbard. So it protected the legs more probably than this one would, but I don't really see that as being a big issue with a tripod. I mean, a lot of the tripod legs we're using will take a freaking beating. So, I think if you're doing horseback stuff, that's a really good option. They make horn bags, cantle bags, saddle bags, and more. And I didn't get a chance to go to their website. I just saw that picture and it looked like a super dang good setup for horseback hunters. So you should go check them out if you are into horseback hunting. So Rockslide YouTube videos, I threw a couple of them up and they're kind of older ones. I know I mentioned this one before, but the Backcountry Shelters YouTube video that I did back, I don't know, it's been a couple months ago maybe. I did the Kafaru Sawtooth, I had the Hilleberg Neak, and I had the Seek Outside Little Bug Out, I think. And I just kind of went through those three and basically was saying how the Hilleberg Neak, that's a dual wall shelter, a great tent for one person and gear, plus a little bit of room in a vestibule to pull your pack in. But that's like a 3 pound and change. I don't know exactly what the specs are. I don't remember, but it's a little over 3 pounds. And for the size of that thing, for a little under 3 pounds, you can get something like that little bug out that's actually has more room in it. Plus you can put a stove in it. And then I talk about the Kfar Sawtooth as well. So that's just a little something if you're looking into a new shelter. And then I put another one on here too. It's kind of a throwback, back to my 2017 mule deer scouting season. So I linked to that in the description as well. And that takes you to the Rock Slide YouTube channel. And it's, I think I called it the uncut version. I don't know. There's just some videos of bucks in there and setting up camp and taking camp down and doing some of the scouting I did back in 17. And I don't know how I came up with the music selections that I did there, but good Lord, what 3 years does to you. Anyways, so going into hot news, Washington will not shoot problem wolves is what the title of the article is. So it says the wolves from the wedge pack attacked 3 calves in private pastures, so like moo cow calves, and it killed 2 of the 3. But Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife said that they won't shoot the wolves, but instead they are exploring additional avenues for responsive non-lethal deterrence. Good Lord. So it says, so what they did, and this is, I guess I got opinions for days, but it says the rest of the livestock is now contained within a 100-acre fenced pasture near the residence and are checked on daily. And the agency also installed flashing lights along the pasture and assigned 2 cattle producers of Washington wolf livestock conflict monitors to keep watch. So that's interesting. Montana, going over to Montana, this is the other grizzly bear attack I was talking about. It says a group of people were floating and camping on the Sun River, and a guy, I just assume, floated in between a female grizzly and her 2-year-old cub. It did say it was in the morning, though, so I'm assuming they were probably camped, probably more than floating. But anyways, the female attacked the man to some degree, leaving him with non-life-threatening injuries. I know that the Montana Fish and Wildlife said that the female acted just like she should if anything got in between her and her cub, so they're not going to euthanize her or do anything like that. But it didn't go into the extent of his injuries. And then over in Yellowstone, I like keeping up on the Yellowstone news because there's things like this. It says a woman was already attacked by a bison, aka buffalo. It says a female visitor was knocked to the ground and injured by a bison. And it happened at Old Faithful when she got too close to the animal. Her injuries are unknown because she refused to be taken to the hospital. And so they went through some of the, I guess, guidelines, and you're supposed to stay 25 yards away from all large animals. I think that that's kind of close to be to a buffalo, but maybe that's just me. And you're supposed to stay 100 yards from bears and wolves. So if you're going into Yellowstone, those are the guidelines. You should follow them or you might get attacked. Important dates. So June 1st, which was yesterday, Monday, was the deadline for Wyoming antelope, deer for non-resident, and then for residents, it was the elk deadline. They came out with the elk results for non-residents a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago or so. Jordan and I did not draw our cow elk tags, which makes me very sad, but really there's most people I've talked to that put in for Wyoming, they didn't draw anything this year, so that kind of sucks. And then Idaho is ending June 5th, and the results will be out late June. And then Idaho bighorn, goat, moose results should be out very soon. The thing I read just said early June. And Montana is going to be out for the same thing. For the bighorn, goat, moose results are going to be out for the same thing coming up. And then Arizona deer, sheep, bison, fall bear, and javelina will end mid-June. So you still have a little bit of time to put in for the Arizona deer and sheep and bear and whatever else you want to do. But elk is closed. They do their elk earlier. So hot forum threads, we have Zach Harold, which he used to do the Archery Maniacs podcast, and now I think his production company is called Battle Mountain Media. I hope that's correct, Zach. Sorry. He's doing a backpack shootout. So far he's going to review the Kafaru, a Kuyu, a Stone Glacier, an Exo, an Eberly Stock, an Initial Ascent, a Mystery Ranch, a Seek Outside because of demand, and possibly a Sitkin and Outdoorsman's. To put 5 days each on those like he wants, it's going to take a lot of weeks, so got to be careful exactly how many are added to that. But that's what's going on over on the forum. That's a hot thread. I also have a thread open for the new Kafaru packs, which are the Mini Keg, which Jordan is using. That's 22-inch frame, internal frame. And then I'm using the Cutthroat, which is a 26-inch internal frame. So they are Kafaru's version of like a backpacking pack. So you can't separate the bag and the frame. It's all in one together. And so far we've been dang impressed with them. I really like them a lot. Jordan really likes that 22-inch frame because she's short. So that's good. That's going on over there as well. And so a throwback episode. I told you I'd start throwing some throwback episodes in here. Backpacking Stoves with Mike Corrigan. And that was still one of my all-time favorite episodes. I still listen to it, actually, every once in a while to, like, refresh myself on backpacking stoves, I guess. Mike does a great job at explaining all that in there. And so that's a throwback episode. On to the Hot Minute. I think I've talked about this in one of our first episodes of Tipsy Tuesday, but never hurts to circle back. So talking about packing for airline travel. And I'm going to leave, like, the meat and the transportation of meat and antlers out of this one because that can get... There's just so many things that can happen on that. It just depends on so many factors. So we're just going to talk about when you're packing to go like to a hunt, because if you don't do it a lot, it's kind of overwhelming. And even when you do it a lot, it's kind of overwhelming. So here's what I typically do. So I take my duffel bag that I'm going to check, and I really try to keep it to one. Sometimes that's difficult. And if you're just traveling to go on a hunt or filming like I typically am, then you don't need to check a gun or a bow case. But for me, I usually have one duffel bag and I get that thing to 50 pounds. I usually have like my clothes. I'll have my backpacking stove, but not the stove, like the fuel canisters for it. And I'll get to that in a second. They really don't like you taking those on there. But like all your gear stuff, water filtration, water bladders, empty of course, but water bladders, whatever, all that stuff inside the main bag. I typically don't put my backpack that I'm going to use. I don't really shove that in there. I usually carry that on. And that could kind of depend too, just what I have, like the length of the trip and what I have for space. But typically if you're going to go on like a 5 or 7 day hunt, you're going to be pretty full going in and heavy. So, I like to put, like all my clothes, boots, kind of depends on that too. I've got to the point, like when we went to Alaska, I just wore the boots on my feet that I was going to take. Usually if we're not going as long or have more room, I'll just wear tennis shoes on the plane and then I'll pack my boots and I've packed them on my carry-on, in my carry-on before too. I've like tied the laces together and just strapped them to the outside of my backpack, and nobody's really given me too much hell for that. But I just pack as much stuff inside the main bag until I can get to 50 pounds. And typically I have to put a bunch of stuff in and then I have to take it out, to get to 50 pounds. 'Cause that's the limit. If you go over 50 pounds on a checked bag, then they'll ding you for overweight. And I mean, I've thought I've been close enough at like 51 pounds and they made me take stuff out or they were going to ding me for overweight. So that's what I do. I get that as as close to 50 pounds as I can. And I will say, do not put your optics, like camera gear type stuff. Don't put any of that inside that checked bag. Just it gets thrown around so much and things happen. And I think like we talked to Sean Smith about this. He's like, it says in the fine print, if there are any like optics, electronics, things like that in a checked bag and they lose it, like you're not covered, or they're not going to cover it basically. I didn't really think they covered much of that anyways, but anyways, so that's what I do there. And then I put all my like optics, heavier stuff. Typically that's going to be your heaviest. So like binoculars, spotting scope, camera gear, anything else like batteries. I always try to put those inside my carry-on bag, and it makes it super heavy, but it'll help you a lot on the checked bag end. And then I know if you are taking like your, if you have to take your bow case or anything like that, I know like what same guy, Sean Smith, when they flew out here to whitetail hunt with us, I know what he did was just, it was a 5-day hunt. So it wasn't a backpack hunt. So we didn't have to carry a ton of stuff. But what he did is he had his backpack that he stuffed a bunch of stuff in. And then he had a duffel bag that was a carry-on that he stuffed a bunch of stuff in. And that got his two carry-ons, well, a carry-on, and then like a personal item, which could be your backpack, I guess. And stuffed those as full as he could, and then took his bow case and opened it up, put his bow in it, and then stuffed everything else, clothing, whatever else he could, he stuffed in that bow case. And then he only had to check the bow case on instead of checking like two checked bags. But a lot of times I think on a backpack hunt, you're going to have to take so much stuff anyways, that if you get that duffel bag to 50 pounds, put as much stuff in a bow case or in the rifle case as you can, and then make sure to put like all your more near and dear items into like a backpack that you're going to carry on and always have with you. And I think that that's a really good way to go. It's always been good to me. A lot of people have asked me about, you know, their frame packs. They're going to be 24, 26 inches. I'm pretty sure the carry-on height you can go is supposed to be 22. I've carried my 24-inch Kefaru on a lot, and as long as I just try to keep it, I keep my optics in there, and I keep all the compression straps really sucked down so it's not too tall. I think that's the thing that'll get you, is not so much the length. Being able to fit the length in an overhead bin, it's being able to fit like the depth in. So if you can make sure both your carry-ons or whatever are pretty slim, I think you're going to be in good shape. You know, in my opinion, like these times that I would travel to a hunt, I don't do that a lot. I don't have to fly to hunts a lot. So I just kind of, I pack as slim and as best I can, and I just don't really pay attention to that max height sign. Maybe that's bad, but nobody's ever really said anything to me about it before. So, I think the only thing that they'll do is they'll just, and actually when we were in Mexico, when we were on our way back, we were pretty packed with stuff on the way back too. And they took my buddy's backpack, 'cause he didn't pack it very slim, and they took it and just said, "Hey, that's not going to fit. Let's take it up and we'll just throw a pink tag on it," or whatever they call it, green tag or whatever. And then they just, threw it underneath the airplane. And then when we got to where we were going, they met him like right outside the front door with it, like they do a lot of times if you don't have like big overhead bins on an airplane. So that's all they did. I'm sure that they could ding you worse. Probably depends on where you are and what they're used to. But anyways, the fuel canisters. You cannot carry those little backpack fuel canisters for like a canister stove. You can't carry those on. So make sure you think ahead of time and make sure that you can pick those up wherever you're going to arrive. Seems like if you have to fly in somewhere, the town is probably big enough that you can pick up some canister stoves. And if you can't or whatever, you can just think ahead of time and use something like Amazon and ship some of those kinds of items to your destination. And also with airplane travel, we've had a lot of guys that are traveling to our place to hunt or whatever, they'll just ship a whole bunch of their stuff out, like FedEx or UPS or whatever, like a week in advance. And then they just ship it straight to us. If you're doing a DIY deal, that could get a little bit more tricky. But anyways, that could be how you do it. So that pretty much does it for the hot minute. Hopefully that helped. If you have any questions, just shoot a message over and I'll help you out as best I can. Upcoming episodes. This last weekend, we went to Shadron and we were with Jake and Lana Downs. And we talked about family, hunting, work, and balance. So that episode is going to be coming up probably next week, or actually this weekend. Yeah, this Saturday. That episode is going to be coming out. We also talked to Bill Vanderhein from Iron Will Broadheads, and he talked about coming from a whitetail background from like an archery setup perspective from Wisconsin and then moving out to Colorado where he's at now and transitioning over to hunting elk and kind of how his system changed with that. So that's coming up as well. And there are some other episodes coming up too. So hopefully we have some good stuff coming up for you in the coming weeks. And we hope you guys have a good and safe in these crazy times. Have a good June.